Welcome to In the Thick, a podcast about politics, race, and culture from a POC perspective. I'm Julio Ricardo Varela. So listen, we just had Rita Moreno on the show this week, but this week has been insane. So we're going to try something new. We're calling it In the Thick FYI. And it's a short mini episode, and we might release more of these In the Thick FYIs in the future when something crazy happens in the news. So anyways, I dialed up In the Thick all-star Wajahat Ali, my good friend, to give me the debrief about the week in politics. So I have him on. Hello, Waj.
I love being the In the Thick halal guinea pig that you guys use for any and all new segments. And it's just like, who's gonna make a fool out of himself? Waj. And I always say, yes. But no, thanks for having me on. It's awesome that you guys got Rita. It's following up Rita Moreno. That's like the first time and only time I'll ever be able to say that in my life.
Yeah, you can add that to your resume.
You make a good point. There's the absurd, surreal news is coming out like a fire hose, and we're just trying to, like, you know, drink it as we can, or if you will, ingest the tweets in 140 characters or less, because that's going to be the preferred
image of that
method of President-elect Trump communicating to the people after showing such contempt. But this was the first press conference, and you'd think, okay, President-elect Trump would come out of the gates and try to act presidential. He lasted about 10 minutes, Julio. And as we've seen with his president, he gets involved. Yeah, 6 minutes? And, you know, I mean, what's frightening about this, and, you know, we're in the media, is it reminds us of, like, you know, the banana republics and the authoritarian regimes. You have tremendous experience with it in Central and Latin America. My peoples, the Muslims or Muslim-majority countries themselves, have seen this. When a person in power uses and abuses the pulpit to bully the press into submission, reward those who ask him questions or praise him. He had his own, like, hoot and hollering section there.
I read a report that he paid for some of that, too.
Breitbart had front row seats, and he paid those people. Those were pro-Trump supporters who were asked to actively jeer people who were quote-unquote fake news, which now has been misdefined as news that is simply critical of Trump or that he doesn't like. And the treatment of Jim Acosta, who is a senior respected White House correspondent for CNN, regardless what you think of CNN, but the fact that he just kind of humiliated Acosta over a verified CNN piece, which then got verified again by intelligence agencies, and then called them fake news.
Since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can
quiet.
You state, can,
quiet.
Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically?
She's asking a question. Don't
Mr. President-elect,
be rude.
Can you give us a question?
Don't be
you're
rude.
Attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you
no,
give
I'm not
us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody... No, Mr. President-elect, that's not
go
appropriate.
Ahead.
The funny thing is, if this was a Monty Python sketch, it would be hilarious. And the sad part is, and I wrote this on Facebook, is that Donald Trump is robbing SNL of all of its best parody material. SNL has nothing left because reality has, if you will, surpassed most absurd parody and satires. And that's the democracy that we're living in right now.
He's almost like this Godzilla zombie that there's nothing that's going to stop this guy. You can throw everything at him and he's still kind of like, I'm still alive. So is the media kind of like messing up here? Like by certain people, like if it's CNN or BuzzFeed or anyone, by taking that risk, is it making everything else look bad? Because it's just feeding into the Trump thing, right? Because no one really cares. His supporters don't care. Like, media is fake. I'm really trying to look this through this eye of, like, why are we talking about this? What's the relevance?
Well, the relevance is because he's the president-elect who will be the most powerful man in the world. We are in an interesting position. I like the zombie Godzilla, but you can also use the blob. The more and more you come near it, it just keeps growing. And the only thing that stops the blob, you find out at the end, is like it hates like cold. So there has to be a weakness. If indeed Donald Trump is a supervillain, and you and I read comic books, every supervillain and every superhero has a weakness. His weakness, I think, has been exposed. It's being reckless. It's his hubris. Yeah. It's his impatience, and it's the fact that he is occupying this position. And I always said that if I'm a foreign leader, this is amazing, because I can make Donald Trump into my unwitting Manchurian candidate by simply giving him a compliment, number one. That appeals to his narcissism. But what's deeply terrifying, and this is an FYI, is in that same press conference, he said that, number one, he's not going to divest from his multi-million-dollar companies around the world, and number two, his blind trust is not really a blind trust because his sons are running it. So that exposes him on day one to quite literally a constitutional crisis. It exposes him to conflicts of interest and exposes him to corruption. And we're already witnessing this when, you know, foreign companies and foreign investors are already, you know, staying at his hotels. There's going to be hotels all around the world with his name on it, which is also going to be a national security threat for Americans staying in these hotels and certain hotspots. And so what's happening is you're seeing a man rise, using and abusing the most powerful position on earth for his own self-benefit and to bully his enemies, which is exactly the fear of the founding fathers.
Just give me your sense of, like, all these accusations about the Russia thing, and then there's reports that a lot of outlets knew about it. But what does this say to anything, and how the Trump administration has reacted to it by just screaming fake news?
I mean, to tie it to your last point, look, in a way, it looks like Donald Trump is Teflon because he's such a caricature of himself that his base doesn't care. And I do think he's made so many enemies now with the press, now with the intelligence community, with union leaders, Hamilton, SNL, Gallup in September did a poll and said apparently it's the lowest favorability rating and trust in media since like 50 years that they've been recording it. And so people will be isolated in their silos. Social media will unfortunately solidify these silos. And I think for his base, the only thing that will finally get them to really care is when it hurts their bottom line. With the repeal of Obamacare, give it 2 years. When people realize that their family members are dying, that's just when it's going to hit. When they realize that the tax increases help the rich and don't help them, that's when it's going to hit them. When they realize the factory jobs aren't coming, that's when it's going to hit them. And when these scandals start popping up, and there's going to be scandal after scandal after scandal, starting on day one, eventually, when you have so many enemies, I think it's going to be, I think that the cards, the house of cards, if you will topple. And I think they're going to topple on top of Trump and those people who are allied with him. It's just a matter of time. Look,
it took
Bush administration like 6-7 years before people said, oh my God, we got screwed. This is Bush administration times 1,000 on steroids.
Waj, I really appreciate just this quick FYI. You are an all-star. I will end with this. My drinking game choice for the Tillerson confirmation hearing this week was radical Islam. So I took a lot for the team this week. Like it was, I'm still hungover. In the Thick All-Star, Wajahat Ali, thanks for joining us on the first ITT FYI.
Like zombie Godzilla, I will rise again and join FYI. You can't stop me now.
And remember, go to iTunes to rate and review us because it really helps. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at In The Thick Show. Like us on Facebook. And while you're at it, follow Waj on Twitter at Wajahat Ali. Our producer is Noam Hassenfeld. Our senior editor is Nadia Raymond. The music you heard is courtesy of Nacional and ZZK Records. We'll be back next Tuesday with a full episode of In The Thick. In the meantime, we were happy to present this In The Thick FYI.